Last Wednesday, we talked about the prayer of intercession. I thought I might get on with that same tone of speech for today, but sensing, I guess, the Sunday before, we talked about having a fresh start. Wednesday, we talked about kinds of prayer. We spoke about intercession and the need to intercede and the importance of intercession for this year. Prayer is like making a highway for your life. And it makes a way for the plan of God to be manifested in your life. And so when you pray, you begin to build that roadway for yourself and for God to move in your life. God can't move in your life unless you pray. God needs permission, your permission. You know, he's a gentleman. God, the Holy Spirit, is a gentleman. And if we don't ask him, he's not going to move, even though he knows what you need. So God gives us the ability to believe him and to ask him. Jesus said, you know, when you pray in your closet, ask the Father, even though he knows what you need. You're supposed to ask him. And over in the 5th chapter of Matthew, so you ask God because it's a faith thing. God wants you to pray. How many of you prayed this morning or last night? You've been praying. Some of you don't stop praying. I realize that you have a relationship with God and you keep talking to God. And when we talk about prayer, you know, sometimes we have a little time slotted, maybe 10, 15 minutes we pray. But we should be praying all the time. Our spirit should be in contact with God all the time. And so we talked about the need for intercession. We're about to embark on some new dreams, I believe, and I want to be able to give people the vision of what we want to do this year physically around the building, but also spiritually what we want to do and some of the plans and things that we want to do as far as the vision of God. And so I believe next week we'll have something for you on the screen so that you can see what we're doing. So we're just about to embark on this way is north. Okay, that's the west wing. So that's south? Are you sure? anyway, let's call it the west wing. some of us that are challenged with that, but we'll be starting on this construction this next week. We've had to believe that God would help us do the work that he's called us to, and already we're seeing other things, and so it'll cost maybe a little over $100,000 to get that done. Hopefully it'll be less than that, because we're trusting the Lord to, do some special things for us, like prices and the work, how much work we have to do. So we're gonna have that done. So it's already going to be planned out. We had to talk to a number of people, like we did last time. What do you call these people who do stuff? Like they draw pictures, and I think that one picture they draw cost us like $7,000. I said, I could have done that myself. And Josh started laughing, but of course it's all these things that they have to do for the city. The city has to do all kinds of stuff, check you out, see if you're doing well. And so we are going to get this done. So Joe, you're in the plan as well. Joe's in the plan, and Pastor Steve's in the plan. He's got his arm back, and he was out of commission. That's why he wasn't drumming last little while. So unless he's faking it a little bit, but I don't think so. Yeah, he's good. But he can actually, in fact, you couldn't pull the skidoo to start it, right? Like the thing. So he gets okay. So now he's getting healed really fast when the skidoo time came around. So we have We have, so anyway, that's coming along, and we're trusting God for different things, you know. Sometimes people wait around for God to do things. They wait for God, but God's waiting for you to make a move. You ever notice that in the Bible, Jesus always asked for action, to do something. And so we need to do something and not wait for some kind of a supernatural, spectacular, whatever it is, to get us going. So we're going to move in the direction we believe God wants us to. I got a nice little mail this morning. I was watching here, and somebody came up on my feed that some lady was watching the television program and said that she's spending time with royalty this morning, meeting me. And so thank God for that. Wherever they're working somewhere, they're watching the program. I want to thank God for them watching. I got a call yesterday from someone from Ottawa that's watching our program. In fact, I got a call from a senator a couple of weeks ago that's watching our program. And so we have a lot of people that are watching the program. I wish they would send some money to help us with some of the stuff that we are doing. But how many people know that we have more than enough? Yeah. Amen? And we're well off. Yeah. Amen? We're all healed with this. We're the healed bunch. Yeah. Amen? We don't put up with sickness. Amen? And we don't have time for depression. We don't have no sick days. So you don't take any sick days when you go to work. You're not allowed to. If you want to take a day off, but don't be sick. I guess you can take a day off. How many days do you have for the post office? 5 days? That's just for 1 week, right? No, four. You got 4 weeks. Well, that's wonderful. I'm going to work for the post office. And she gets paid too. So thank God. And she's a tither, praise God. Amen? Thank God for that. You know that Cindy actually is American. Did you know that she's half Canadian now? Half of her family is Canadian, half of her family is American. So they celebrate Thanksgiving twice and all these things happening. So I usually go visit their house whenever they're having a party and join in. So we get to go to them. So it's nice to have family. So they're my family. Ed's my family. My brother Ed, people think we're twins. Where is Ed today? He's here somewhere. So whenever I've done something bad, I blame him. Anyway, okay, easy now. How many of you watched, did you take part in watching some of the games during the Christmas season? I'm a great hockey fan, so please don't criticize me. I love sports, but I'm not that crazy that I leave my Bible reading. I go to church, I talk to God, I even pray in tongues. Brother Hagin used to pray in tongues watching the football games, so I guess I could pray in tongues watching the hockey games. I didn't watch Toronto last night, though. I haven't watched them for a while, but I've been watching the juniors, praise God. That's good. Good to see these young kids. I'm interested in these young boys. In fact, I got a call again from, Hockey Canada? What is that? Hockey Ministries Canada. So they asked me to become the chaplain of the Thunder Bay North Stars. So I haven't started that yet. So they haven't called me officially to do whatever they're supposed to do with whatever their program is. So I'm ready to go. And also, news around the area, I'm also vying for a position for a counselor at my First Nations Community, Long Life 58. So I want you to vote for me. I left, they nominated me, so I said, okay, I'm going to go. And somebody already, criticized me, says, that politics and religion don't mix. It took me every fiber of my being not to speak back, because when you know certain people. But, if you're even stupid and foolish, if you keep your mouth shut, people think you're smart. That's what the Bible says, right? Yeah, and the Bible says a fool utters all his mouth, but if you keep your mouth shut, you'll be a smart man. So I'm going to be a smart man, and you know, I keep my name in there for various reasons. I asked the Lord, do you want me to do this? And so the Lord says, yeah, you go ahead. And so I feel that I'm on the right track. And for whatever reason it is, my presence is there, and I have a message. Whether they vote me in or not, I'm there to support my community. I'm there to drive the community in the right direction. Whether I'm there or not, I'm still here asking God for direction for my community. Hallelujah. I was in a big meeting last week with a lawyer. You know, we got these big lawyers come in. And my friend here, he's also, vying for a position for chief. And we were able to do some things. So I can't tell everything what's happening in my community because it's very, you can't tell all the stuff. We're going through some negotiation with the government with our land some money for our community. So are you 58? 58? Oh, man, you're going to miss that money there. I was hoping that you get some money over to you. So how many of us are First Nation Fort William or at least Fifth Long Life 58? Give me your hand. Okay, so I'm expecting some good tide coming in the next 5 years. Very good. Amen. Well, I do have other news, but I'll stop and we'll get into our message. How about that? Amen. I like to talk to people when I'm up here. It's just that I'm not just your preacher, I'm your pastor, so you have to know things in our life as well. We had a wonderful Christmas, my wife and I, and I didn't gain any weight. We're hoping to lose more weight this year. You know, they say every year that you've been married, you gain what? How many pounds? 10 pounds? No, 1 pound a year, I guess, eh? So I'm on track. I'm on track. I was 165 pounds or 175 pounds. So 30 more pounds. So it's not too bad. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and bless God. Thank Him. Thank you for His goodness. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your favor. Oh, you're such a good God. We love you. Thank you for your wonderful Holy Spirit who you put into our hearts, that He's directing us, He's guiding us, He's giving us light. Lord God, thank you for Him and His ministry. And we welcome the Holy Ghost, Him who is God, the Holy Spirit. We ask Him to teach us, to help us, to learn more about Jesus, to love Him, to serve Him in the way that pleases you. Help us to discard our own plans for your plan. And help us to see what we want to see this year and what you want us to do. Thank you for a vision that is a better thing than what we can ever imagine. We give you praise for this service. We thank you for those that are watching online. We ask your blessing. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit begin to do supernatural things, changing people's hearts and minds and healing sick bodies and giving deliverance to those that need deliverance. And help those that need guidance and those that have lost vision. Empower them today with a fresh new vision. Help them to see what you want them to see as a wonderful father would want for their children. Thank you in advance for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Let us go to our Bibles. There's a couple of scriptures we want. This is kind of slow sometime. So we'll just move on. Our topic today is visions and dreams because, you know, it's 2018. We're beginning to start a brand new year. And as I mentioned last week, you don't have to wait for 2018 to start a new year. You can start any time of the year to start a new season. Our title is, What Do You See? What do you see? And Proverbs 29:18, I'm reading from the King James Version. I'm going to use other versions of Scripture so that it's a little bit more, clearer for people when they don't understand the King James. So I want to make sure that, you know, I study in the King James, but I also use other Scripture, just different references to make it clear for those who are not familiar with the Bible But I encourage you to read the King James, study from it. It's the, I believe, the best Bible, and I truly believe in it. But thank God that there are other versions of the Bible that are not as accurate, and some of them are paraphrased. You know, you could paraphrase something, but it doesn't have to be word for word translation, but it means the same thing. So Proverbs 29:18, you might want to check. You don't have your Bible. I think we have our notes for you today. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. My point today in our message really is what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. You remember Flip Wilson back in the 70s? He used to say that. But, you know, clearly, what you see about your own life and about life itself ends up to be the way you're going to live. You know, sociologists tell us that we are shaped by our environment. And I remember one time Billy Graham says you can be a changer. You can change, you can let the world around you change you, shape you. Of course, Romans 12:1 says that we can't allow the world to shape us, to change our lives, that we must be transformed by God's word. And so we need to be a world transformer. We need to transform our world around us by looking inward with the word of God. And so what you see is what you get. As an introduction, let's say some words here. What do you see for your future this year, 2018? What do you see happening in your life? Having a vision is primary in life, and our text today tells us without a vision, people perish. You know that life can become hopeless and also meaningless when we lose sight into the plans and purposes of God for our lives. You know, as a teacher, I taught at the college for a number of years. I've been teaching around the college for 30 years on and off, but the last 20 years almost, my wife and I have been teaching there as a part-time. A lot of times that our assignment is to help students. The program that I run and teach is a program that teaches students to find meaningful a vision and plan for their lives, for work. One of the things we tell people is that find something you like to do, you love to do, and you'll never work a day in your life. Because if you love what you're doing, it doesn't feel like working. You feel like it's a privilege to go to work in the morning, and you love to do what's before you. And there are people who hate work. They hate not just work, but they hate what they're doing because it only has one application, that is for financial reasons. So your job should be more than just financial reasons. Your job should be tied to many things that God has assignment for you. You should be there for His purpose, His plan. And how many people know that all the money that you make is not all, it's not all yours? Some of it belongs to God. God wants you to participate in the plan that He has for His church, for the people of God. And so he starts off with the 10%, but, I mean, that's just basic. And many of you give more than that. Some of you give 30. Some of you give more than that on a weekly basis. And God, you know, you have to have, if you see a purpose for it, then you'll do it. You'll follow what God wants you to do, and you'll find that there are no shortages in God when you participate in what He wants to do. Can you say amen? And so life can become meaningless when we don't have the insight on what God wants us, and we become hopeless, wandering around in the world. And we shouldn't get robbed in life by the enemy and the dream that God has for you be stolen because you have lost insight into what He wants for your life. I believe the best days for your life are ahead of you. Amen. Otherwise, you're in for a real ride going downhill. I believe the best days are ahead, and I'm trusting that you're seeing the same thing I'm seeing, and that is good. And so what do you really see? There is more going on for you right now than there is against you. I said there is more going for you now than there is against you. No matter what is happening in your life, there is more going on for you. No matter how sick you might be, no matter how dangerous life seems to be, no matter how hopeless it is, there is more going on for you right now. The scripture says so. Most people have trained themselves to see only the trouble and the trial and miss out on the opportunities that are hidden in the difficulties that are there. God says there's more for you than there is against you. Remember Elisha, the servant of God, the man of God, the prophet, when his servant only saw with his natural eye, he just looked at the circumstances around him and figured he's with the man of God on assignment, thinking this is it. And I want my staff to know, and I want all my people to know, no matter how helpless they might seem to be, that God has a plan for us. You know, we didn't start off in ministry with just, you know, you can't wait for everything to arrive to start with God. You have to start, you know, sometimes with basically nothing. And just with a dream in your heart that God put there and move on ahead. And so, notice this scripture, if you turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15, 16, 17 in the King James Version. And this is the man of God that speaking to his servant. Starting with verse 15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host of encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots. Now this army is coming against them. And sometimes you might be encamped or circled about, and everywhere you turn, there's trouble. I don't know if you ever felt that in life, that it just seems that you're being captured by the enemy, and everywhere you turn, there doesn't seem to be any answer. And here were two men of God that could have felt that way. At least one felt thoroughly, he was convinced by what he saw. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be that be with them." And that's a message for you today. That no matter how insurmountable, how big the problem might seem for you, that there's more going on for you. Now, you might be looking at this year a tough situation, but there's more going on for you today. Elisha prayed, the man of God prayed, and I think this is a key, and I think we're trying to allude to something or go to a new, something that's new, old but new idea, and that Elisha, what did he do? He prayed. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And God wants us to have insight into the plans and the purposes that he has designed for us a long time ago. Remember Ephesians chapter 2. Would you please pull up for me? I don't have that in my notes, but pull up Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 and pull out the Amplified Version for us and put it on the screen for us so that I want people to see this right now. We're just taking a little bunny trail, as they say, in our message. You like bunny trails? How many of you eat a bunny rabbit? Some of you have eaten rabbit. I don't eat rabbit myself, but I like to eat other things. Chicken wings preferably, hot Thai. Okay, now let's see, you're getting you hungry. Okay, look at this, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. In other words, God's working on your life. recreated in Christ. You know, when you were born again, you were recreated. Look at it, it says, born anew, that we may do those works which God predestined or planned beforehand. God made a plan beforehand, before you were born, for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. That God has already prearranged and pre-planned your life for you. And it says in that verse of scripture that some people, if you look at it closely, that some people are taking a path that was never designed for them. They're in careers that God never designed for them. Like I was doing, if God didn't stop me, I would have been a full-time professor today doing my research and the stuff that I wanted to do for myself. I was doing fine without God. No one says amen. Because that's the way most people think. You know, well, I was doing okay without God. Well, God, why did you mess up my plan? Well, God needs to mess up your plan. Because you're in a mess.
Amen.
But, you know, okay, so I felt, you know, that God, when the Lord called me, I was at university, and supernaturally the Lord came into my car. Jesus came and sat in my car and said to me, what are you going to do with the plan that I've laid out for you? And immediately I said, I don't know, what are you talking about? That scripture told me already. He already has a plan.
Amen.
So God has a plan for you. And, you know, we mess up so many times in our lives. And, you know, we color our lives with our past experiences, our history, our you know, our ethnic backgrounds. We see things differently sometimes. And God wants us to see what he wants to see. We see things colored from our career or whatever experiences tell us, you know, and so we see life from that perspective. And we think it's right, and it sure is right, but it's only one portion, one side of things. And sometimes we go down a path, maybe take a 10-year journey down somewhere where God didn't want you, and you had some experiences, you lost money, you had bad relationships, you got sick, you lost different things happen in your life, and God never intended you to have that, and yet most people would blame God for their trouble. They say, God, why did you let that happen to you? No, you let that happen to you.
Amen.
So that's why when I was at the college teaching the students, finding careers, we tend to tell children, you can be anything you want. Well, you have to clarify that. You can't just be anything you want to be. You need to be what God wants you to be. Now, you might not like that, and you might not agree with that. I'm going to tell you something. God knows more about you than you think you know about yourself. Because we always think we know better, because I was the same way when I was in school, when the Lord interrupted my own plan. He says, what are you doing? Because I thought I was doing great. So when he stopped me, you mean I've done all this work at university and all the studies and all the running around and all the money I was trying to get this to where I was supposed to go. Now you're telling me I have to change it. And I think, you know, maybe God needs to interrupt your plan this year and change your direction, because sometimes we become what other people want us to become or what society wants us to become. We do things because we think other people want us to be a certain way. And I remember God stripping off my idea of who I was. When the Lord told me to stop playing hockey, because I grew up playing hockey, I identified with that culture, and I was one of the boys, and the Lord took that away from me, I thought this was the end of the world. And I saw all the other guys enjoying their hockey games, and I would just play maybe once a week, and I thought, I can't catch up to these guys anymore. I used to be better than them. And then you lose that part of your life. And then the Lord spoke to me one day and said, give me your car away. And I dreamt, you know, hey, I'm driving a sports car, and this is what my idea of who I was. And God began to strip that away from me. Then he took away my educational pursuits and said, what am I, you know, what? And we begin to cry because we think that this is what I should be. This is who I am. The Bible says that we've been recreated in Christ. And God wants you to be what he's designed you to be. And you fit exactly where you're supposed to be when you're in him. And not always, you know, most fears come from the fact, as we mentioned earlier, that we have lots of fear in our life because it stands for losing things, dying to different things. Well, that's another story. So we see here, we need to ask God to open our eyes that we might see. Notice Proverbs 4, 8, 10 to 18. Verse 10, it says this: "My child, listen to me and do what I say, and you will have a long, good life." That's God talking to you. God talking to you through his scripture. "I will teach you wisdom, the wisdom ways, and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. And when you run, you won't stumble. Take a hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. Don't do as the wicked do. They don't follow the path. Don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving, for evil people can't sleep until they have done their evil deed for the day. They can't rest until they've caused someone to stumble. They eat food of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The way of the righteous is like the gleam of dawn, which shines even brighter until the full light of the day." God promises us in that last verse of Scripture, verse 18, life should get better. Life should be brighter. I remember the day I got born again. I remember just like it was yesterday. When I got born again watching Billy Graham, after watching the Billy Graham telecast, something happened to me. The light went on. Like, you know, we say, we joke about this. We said, you know, the grass is greener. Right? The birds sung even more sweeter. The dog on the street was more doggier. I mean, everything seemed better. Everything seemed brighter. And I want to tell you something that is so true. And I want to go to the scripture later on, but Matthew, I have to go there now, but Matthew 4:16 says, "The people who sat in the region of darkness in the prison saw a great light." And they saw Jesus. And I began to love things I never used to like after I got born again. I love things I didn't used to like. And I didn't like things that I loved before. My life changed because God came in and gave me a fresh new vision. So, you know, we need to have a long, healthy, successful vision of a successful life. A vision of a healthy, successful life is produced by the instruction of the word, as we saw in this verse of scripture. Instead of counting statistics of what the world would give you as to how you will end up in life, we need to look to the word. The statistics tell you, you know what, your dad died at 56 years of age, and you're probably going to die early too. And everybody that has this certain disease die at this certain time, and they're crippled for many years before they die and suffer, and usually that's what you have, and that's what you're going to be like. So we take that on. We say, well, this is how it should be. No, God has a plan for you. Amen. And so we take everything in that perspective, and we believe what everybody around us tells us. Thank God for all the things we learn and different, you know, institutions and different things that we learn today. But sometimes, even though they're naturally true, they don't have to be for you because God has a different life for you. I've got two amens. I'm hoping you would get more. But, you know, I'm telling you something. You need to agree with the word. Instead of agreeing what you know everything you know. You studied and you know what you know. But God knows more than you. Amen. He's the ancient who teaches God. That God says, you're asking me, I'm the one who made the eyeball. I'm the one who made the brain. I'm the one who did that. You didn't instruct me to do that. You're telling me, I mean, God's talking in the scriptures. This is what he says. He says, I know how to recreate that. So people get a vision of what they look at, looking at their family history, looking at their social history, looking at their environment, looking at their culture, looking at different things other than what God tells them about their future. You got to remove yourself from that and begin to see from the spiritual eye of God what he has in store for you. And not just live every day, this is the way it is, and this is how it always will be. Whatever will be, will be. No, we have to change that, right? You're not on a high road to hell. Hell, you know, whatever that song was there. Always, you know, the enemy is always painting a bleak picture for you. A picture of failure, a picture of death, a picture of never getting along, making it, your relationship dying out, no one's ever going to like you anymore. You've ruined so many relationships, there's nobody for you. If you were like me, that's what I felt like. I felt like garbage going to the side, and people told me I was garbage verbally from my community. I remember a lady telling me, you'll end up to be nothing in life. You'll be just like your mom and your dad. You're just nothing but a drunk, and that's it. And that really hurt. It went a long way, and I used that for fuel to change my life. You know, somebody said you could get covered under the garbage, but you can also stand on a mountain of dirt that they tell you. You know what did Frank Sinatra say? You know, the best revenge you can have is extreme success. You know, thank God we can have success in our lives. People can say what they want to say, but the fruit is in the pudding. Say what you want to say. You know, I don't know what it's like to live out there. Quit looking at the world and go to the real source and find out what God wants you. God wants to give you light. As we said in Matthew 4:16, it says, the people who sat in the darkness have seen a great light, and for those who lived in a land where death cast its shadow, light has shined. The light of God has shined in your life, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost lives inside of you, giving you direction. And we've been doing, every night, my wife and I and Hannah, we've been doing Bible study devotions, and we're learning how to follow God. I believe we need to follow God. Learn how to follow his direction, what he wants for our lives. I can think of about 1,000 ways I can go, but I want God in my life. I want him in my life. See yourself well if you're sick. Get a picture of your life as healthy. 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:16, Isaiah 53:4-5. Get a picture. Acts 10:28 or 10:36, whatever scripture is. It says that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. See yourself without oppression and depression. See yourself being successful at what you're doing. See yourself as being powerful and not weak. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let yourself say, I'm successful. I'm an overcomer. Just like what the Bible says. Just tell yourself, I'm a somebody. Okay? Don't say I'm weak. Don't say I can't. Don't say, I could never have that. Don't say I can't afford it. I was listening to one preacher one time. He said, stop telling your kids, I can't afford it, can't afford it, can't afford it, can't afford it, can't afford it. Stop telling your kids that. Tell your kids, we'll believe God, praise God. We'll believe. Everybody say, I'll believe God. So I will believe God. So we need to tell people, don't ever say we can't afford it. I'm looking around here for a reaction. When you imagine something and get a vision from God, it'll be so powerful that nothing can stop you. Lack of money can't stop you going to work. Lack of money can't stop you from going to school. Some of you students, I know what it's like not have money. Had no parents, nobody to talk to in the city. I didn't see one brown Indian in this town. And I went to school. I lived at the Salvation Army, and I took a bus to school. At times. Sometimes I got a ride. Hitchhike. And so, you know, I had a vision in my mind what I wanted to do. I saw myself, when I was at the Salvation Army, I saw myself with a master's level degree in university. And I didn't even have a grade 9 or 10. And I was in a school, you know, special ed class for slow learners. Okay, notice this. Go to the scripture here. Genesis chapter 11, 4, verse 4. We'll start from verse 4. And they said, "Let us go and build us a city, a tower whose top may reach to heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and tower, and the children of men build it. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and they began to do this. They began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." God says nothing is going to be restrained from that person who has a single mind, who could see one thing, and that is to build and do something. Build a dream for their life. And nothing will be restrained from them what they have imagined to do. Let's go down and confound their language that they may not understand one another or one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left that to build a city. Therefore, the name of the place is called Babel. Because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad the face of the earth. Power in the human spirit, when someone in their human spirit can get an imprint of the vision that God has for them, that's very powerful. When we begin to speak it out, and that's why, you know, when you learn anything about vision, if you ever learn about goal setting in school or university, you learn this, that the more you talk about something, the more things happen. Researchers tell us, this is not about Bible. This is some research that the more you can go and tell people about what you want to do in life, the more it becomes real to you. That's why faith, when you have the scriptures, the more you talk about the scriptures, the more faith is imprinted in your spirit to believe the things that God wants you. You know, Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. And he says that they might see, Ephesians 1:17, that they would see what God has for them, who they are in Christ, and what God has for them. That's what we need to pray. The Pauline prayer that God would help us see for our lives, and we're so caught up in our own dreams we miss God. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, "Glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work in us to accomplish infinitely more than we are able to imagine or think about." That's what the scripture says there. God has, you know, like your wildest dreams, God can top that. He can top your wildest dream, whatever you can imagine. God says, "Hey, I can do better than that. I can dream up better things for you than you could ever imagine for your life." Some of you can sit right here. You're sitting right here right now. You said you couldn't imagine what your life would be. Can you imagine your life without Jesus today? I can't imagine myself what it would be like without Jesus Christ. And I think back, you know, just a few years ago, and visiting Sterling at the jailhouse at Sterling. We went to see, he called, you know, we went to visit him. Over at the, what is that called? The institution out there, the prison. We went to visit and we would talk and to see what he's doing today. The kind of, oh, he's got personal business that he has little contracts that he's working on. He's done videography. He's done lots of stuff he's doing today that you would never imagine him. I used to see him years ago on the street over here. And my friend and I would drive by and say, hey, that's Tweedy's son over there. Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that him? Really? Yeah, it's him. And so we used to see him over there. Now he's in church serving God. And he's not shy about his faith. And he's a real model for people back home. If he could do it, I can do it. Amen. That's a powerful message, man. His life is speaking to people right now. And so he put all the dealers out of business. He has not gone there. You know, there's a correlation, a real relationship with having vision and having faith. See, God has to give you, he's got to let you see something so that you can have faith. You know, God gives you the word, and you hear the word, and you begin to see something, then you have faith for something. Amen. You got to be able to see with your inner eye the plan that he has for you, the future here. The scripture said when the light comes, when the word of God comes, the light comes. Psalm 119 verse 30 says that your words give light. The entrance of your words gives light and gives understanding to the simple. Even simple people can get this. You know, it says, I was thinking about that yesterday. I was writing this and talking to my wife. I said, you know, what does that word simple mean? You know? Does it mean what I think it means? Well, what is the meaning of simple? I kind of think, you know, somebody dumb. Even dumb people can get God's message. And literally in my vernacular, I would say it that way. God wants to give us visions and dreams in our lives. He wants to give us this light of the word. So revelation comes and the light is given. So that word, the Amplified Bible gives that word simple, means childlike. Childlike. You know, kids believe everything you tell them. God wants you to believe everything he tells you in his Bible. He wants you to become childlike. You know, Jesus said, unless someone becomes like a child, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. A simple message of being born again, having a new life. You know? So God gives direction. Notice Psalm 119, verse 100. He said, I have more understanding than the elders, for obey your word. You know, you don't have to have a university education to be smart. You know, there's lots of people with education that are not smart. There's people that have businesses that are not smart as they should be in things. The real intelligence comes from God. He'll give you insight into the things that no one else, you could never pay for that information that God can give you. You know, Hosea 4:6, you know, we know the scripture for many years. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need the knowledge from God so that we don't, you know, perish, so that we don't lose track of what he wants for our lives as far as success is concerned. So, you know, that was a reference to the Jews who rejected God's word, and they went their own direction. So God had to give vision. So here in the Message Bible, God gave, insight to a man named Abraham for his future. Notice here in the Message Bible says this. I like this Message Bible. You can use your King James. Genesis 15:5 in the Message says, then he took him outside and said, look at the sky. See, God has to get you to look at things his way. He said, look at the sky and count the stars. Can you do it? Count your descendants. You're going to have a big family, Abram. So this guy had no children. He was old. And he was losing vision for his future. And God had to show him, hey, listen, this is the way your life is going to be. We need to listen to God. You know, what he wants for your life this year or from now on. Say it that way instead of going another direction. God had to give Abraham a vision. You know, he didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have the Pentateuch or the Old Testament to read and to study. You know, God will put a vision in you just like he did with this man. He had to physically show him the sky. But God can show you something in a moment of time in your spirit. Why? Because he's given us his Holy Spirit. Jeremiah says that one day you won't have to go to the prophets. You won't have to go to everyone else and ask about your future. The prophet said, in the future, God will put his spirit in you and you will no longer ask people about the plan of God. Everyone else will have that prophetic insight into their spirit by the Holy Spirit to see what God wants for your life. So, and then, so God, you know, if you look at Genesis chapter 15, 1 to 6, you'll see that interaction between that. So God will guide you. John 16, 13 says that God wants to guide you. He wants to give you, he wants to show you things to come about your future. The Message Bible says about that in the King James, it says he'll show you things to come. The Message Bible says, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all truth that there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen. See, God wants to turn these things that you have or maybe inside your spirit that you don't know. God wants to make some sense out of it. Out of your life. So, there is the unseen world. First of all, don't get caught up with just looking at the things around you. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:18, there's two ways we see. It's through our outer eye and see the natural, and then the inner eye with the spirit. The Bible says we have two ways that we can see. So, when we say, what are you looking at? You don't look outward, you look inward to the Spirit. Ask Holy Spirit, so what do you got for me? So the natural man sees with the natural eye, the natural world around him. The spiritual man or the inner man sees the unseen world or the spiritual world by the Spirit on the inside of him. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:18, for we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How do you look at things that are not seen? With your spiritual eye, according to the scripture. And that's a faith message, that you have to see something before you ever get it. You got to see it in your spirit before you could ever get it. You got to see yourself well before you ever get well. You got to see yourself rich before you ever get rich. You got to see yourself successful before you ever get successful. You got to see that in your heart. As difficult as it might seem with all your experiences, maybe perhaps negative, don't look at that. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1 that faith sees the unseen by the word. You can only look at your future by looking at God's word. You cannot see your future any other way. The only way you can see your future is see it through the word. You can't see heaven, but God told you through his word there is a heaven. You can't see angels, but God showed you angels by his word. You didn't see Jesus healing on video, but you have an account by the Gospels that give you a vision that Jesus heals. And the Bible tells us that everything Jesus did is God's will for us today. He never changes. God is still healing people through Jesus by his Spirit today. And that's why we're going to have healing services. We're going to start having healing service this month. We're going to have our first evening healing service, and we're going to have healing school for a few days before that. If you're interested in that, we'll give you some more information later. We understand the world around us through the things that we can't see. Now, the Common English Bible says of Ephesians 1:18, and we're about to close here, so nobody move. For I pray the eye of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call. What is the riches of God's glorious inheritance among believers? Ephesians 1:18, the Common English Bible says. God wants, we should need to pray about this. We need to pray. It says, God, open my eyes so that I can see the hope or what you've called us to do. Thank God that we have that insight today. So let's go ahead and stand up. Everybody stand, please. And since they're going, we might as well shut her down. Okay, let's all stand. Lord, we thank you today for your plan, your purpose for our lives. We thank you for a great, great plan that you have for our lives that perhaps we have not clearly seen. So we're praying just like the scripture says, let Lord open my eyes that I might see. Help us to see what you see for us, that we might have this insight. Yes, we might have had a terrible situation in the last while, but God, you can turn it around. And I'm believing that every person here that's trusting God, I'm going to stand with them. That if you're doing that right now, I'm standing with you to see the change right now. I'm believing God as we stand in the Word. The Bible said, if two shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them. Everyone who's believing for a healing, the Bible says that nothing shall be impossible for them who believe. God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. That there is a better way and there is a plan in store for you today. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all that you're doing. We give you thanks. Let's all say this together and say, thank God, there is a plan. I am not hopeless. My life has meaning. There is a future for me. Thank God that he gives me visions and dreams. Out of my spirit will flow revelation knowledge that I might see and know what I should do, who I need to be. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you in advance for giving me clarity of vision. And I come against the enemy. I bind him from interfering, from trying to steal, kill, and destroy. I receive abundant life and prosperity through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I believe, as I walk out of this place today, that there is a fresh new vision for me, awaiting for me. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to believe for it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to expect it. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Oh, we praise you. Go ahead and praise him. Thank God for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If there's somebody here and you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you're on watching online, if you need to do this today, you can just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. And if you've been away from God, and you need to make a fresh dedication, pray the prayer of dedication, commitment to the Lord today. Pray the prayer to submit to God today, his plan and his purpose for your life. If you would say this prayer, say, God, I'm sorry for disobeying you. I'm sorry for doing what I thought was the right thing for my own life out of my selfishness. I'm turning to you today. I'm turning my back on my own ways, on what everybody else wants me to do, including myself. And I'm submitting my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his plan and his purpose, to do what he wants me to do, so that I will find the most fulfilling life I can ever dream about. Now, thank you, Lord, dear Lord, for saving me. You are my Lord and my Savior. You are my healer, my supplier, my director and guide in this life. I yield and submit to you, to your plan and your will. And every time I make a plan, I'm going to ask myself, does God want me to do this? Is he in this? If he's not, I'm out of it. If he's in it, I'm in it. I want to be where you want me to be, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. And I want to tell everybody how wonderful you are. I want to tell everybody that the devil is a liar and he is defeated and he will not win. And God has the last word in my life. And I want to thank you, Lord, that we have overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we will say, thank you, Lord, from now on till eternity, that you are the most awesome God, the great loving God, the most kind-hearted, compassionate, merciful, loving Savior. We give you praise, dear Lord, for all that you're doing in the name of Jesus. Lift that one hand and say, God, I want to thank you this morning for turning me in the right direction in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want you to greet somebody as you go out. Greet two or three people. Tell them you appreciate them. And we'll see you again next time. God bless you.